Today's shir is Daf Kuf Yud Beis, and we will begin on the fourth line. We learned in the Mishnah, Mafteach Chaluka, that on Shabbos, a woman could open and close her garment that she wears. Ask the Gemara, Pshita. Obviously, she could open up such a knot, since it's not a permanent knot, and as we explained yesterday, any knot, the way we're learning the Gemara according to Rashi, any knot that is not permanent could be tied and untied. Answers the Gemara, La'itzricha, the Islay Trey Dashi. We're talking in a situation where it has two knots, one on the right side and one on the left side. Madutema Chad Minai Betulim Evatel, since one of them, a woman may leave tied permanently, because and she'll only use the other side to open and close. And like Rashi explained, since there's a possibility on both of those knots that might be the knot that will be left permanently, therefore the halacha should be that she should not be allowed to tie or untie either side. Kamash Malan, that's why the Mishnah teaches us that we're not worried about that. We assume that both straps will be untied daily, because it's easier to get dressed and undressed that way. Continues the Gemara, V'chutei Sifcha, and she could tie the strings of her hat. Again, asked the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious that this hat is made to be untied daily, so it's not permanent, and should be mutter. And says the Gemara, Leitzricha, it's speaking in a case, situation, Drevichle, where the hat is tied on loosely. Ma du taima mishlof shilfile, the woman will take off her hat without untying the knot, and therefore making such a knot or untying such a knot should be asar. Kamash milan, the isha chas asar, therefore the Mishnah teaches us that women generally concerned about the hair, and they're worried that if they won't untie it when they remove the hat, it'll tear the hair, and therefore Mishra Sharila, she unties it and it's not a permanent knot. And Rashi says the next case of the Mishnah was that about a girdle, that she could tie and untie her girdle. Explains Rashi that there too it could have been that it was not necessary to tie it and untie it every day. And again, the Gemara says, the Mishnah still teaches us that she could tie it and untie it because it's not tznius to remove the girdle by just pulling it down. Ritzuas min of a sandal. So we learned in the Mishnah, the straps of a shoe or a sandal are permitted to be tied. So Gemara quotes a memra, itma. We learned, hit the ritzuas min of a sandal, somebody tied or untied, actually, the straps of a shoe or sandal. Tanichad, in one brisa we learned, chayiv chatas, that it's a melacha deraisa, and if he did a b'shoigig, he's chayiv karm chatas. Tanya oida potav lasa, that it's osa midrabbanon, but it's mutter midraisa. Tanya oida, in a third brisa we learned, mutter l'chatchila, it's completely mutter. So ask the Gemara, kasha minol aminol, we have a contradiction, what is the halacha by minol between these three brises, and kasha sandal a sandal, and we have a kasha, what is the halacha by sandal between these three brises. Says the Gemara, minol aminol a kasha, regarding a minol, we don't have a stira, haduk tani chayiv chatas, the brise that teaches us that there's a chayiv chatas is bid ushkafi, it refers to the knots that the shoemaker has made. That when we're making the shoe, the shoemaker would insert a strap into a hole in the shoe and tie a knot on one end of the strap to prevent it from coming out. Since this knot is tied so that it should remain there permanently, it's asa midraisa. And if somebody unties such a knot, he's over the melacha of matir. Potavalosar, the case that it's also midrabanan, that's also only midrabanan, is referring to the knots of the shoes of the rabbanan. So the way Rashi explains is that the rabbanan, when they put on the shoe, would not tie the straps tightly around the feet, because since they did not want to waste time in tying and untying the shoes, they left the shoes like that in a loose fashion. And only Rabbanan, explained the Rishonim, only Talmid Chachamim who learned in yeshiva were able to do that, because since they didn't walk in the street that much with work, they just sat in yeshiva learning, therefore they tied their shoes in a loose manner, and therefore they could slip in and out of them, and the knots are more permanent, and since the knots are more permanent, that's why it's awesome midrabanan. Other Rishonim disagree with this approach of saying that what makes that Rabbanan wore shoes tied loosely. Rather, the Mardchai learns that since the Rabbanan sat and learned all the time, they never really left yeshiva 24 hours a day, all week long. So therefore, their shoes, the knots, were permanent. They never took off their shoes. However, the Taz asks that if according to the Mardcha, the Rabbanan, the Tamidi Yeshiva, wore their shoes all week long, so now we have a problem. How on Shabbos, when they remove their shoe, so we have a problem on Friday night when they remove their shoe, how could they untie that knot? And on Shabbos morning when they're putting back their shoes, which they're going to leave on for the whole week, how could they tie that knot? That knot is a midrabanan, at least, to tie or untie. So as far as putting on the shoes Shabbos morning, the Achronim say that what they did was that they only put on the shoes on Shabbos morning with the knot that will be on till Matzah Shabbos. And on Matzah Shabbos they untied the shoe and then retied it. So the knot that they made Shabbos morning only lasted till the evening. And we learned yesterday that the minimum shear for a knot to be awesome with Rabbanan is 24 hours. This knot was not there for 24 hours. But what about untying the knot on Friday night? So many Achronim say that the reason they were allowed to untie that knot was it was a matter shloy amanas likshar. That the halacha, the matter of untying a knot is usur, is only when the intention is not to make a knot right away again. But here, when they took off the shoe Friday night, they did not intend to make a knot immediately afterwards. That's why it was permitted for them to untie the shoes Friday night, and it wasn't usur midrabanan. It's very interesting, because if that's the halacha, the matter, amanas, shloya amanas lekshar, that if somebody's untying a knot without the intent of knotting it immediately, there is no issa midaraisa. So many of the questions of the Gemara that we have ask the Achronim, the Gemara looks for answers. Why doesn't the Gemara in all of the Gemaras that we learned yesterday and we're going to learn today ever use this answer regarding matter amanas lekshar? Mutal chatchila, the brayse that says that you're allowed to knot the shoes lechatchila, not even osam drabanan, is talking about the name of Chuzah, who tied their shoes tightly, and therefore every time they put them on and took them off, they had to tie them and untie them. So it's certainly not a kesher that has any permanence to it, and that's why such a knot can be tied and untied. Continues the Gemara. Sandala, sandalai kasha. How do we answer the three differing brises regarding sandal? Says the Gemara, Hadik Tani Chayiv Chatis. The brisa says that the Zechiv Chatis is Betaya the Katari Ushbechi, refers to the knots of the Arab merchants, which shoemakers tie. They were tied professionally that they should remain tight always, and therefore they're very permanent. And it's asma deraisa to tie or untie such a knot. Pata velasar, the case of pata velasar is b'dechmarta de katri ini. It's the knots that are made by the wearers themselves. They couldn't do such a good job, and therefore they're not that permanent, and it's only asma drabonin. It's very interesting. Yesterday we had a discussion, what is considered permanent, at least that it's asma drabonin. And we said that the Rabbeinu Yoel Shita which is a day, and we said other shittos, a week, a month, etc. Here, Rashi, in explaining this Gemara, says the kosher umatirim upamim shmiskayim Shabbos achodesh, a week or a month. So it seems that the minimum amount that it should be considered a nat, that it should be also midrabanan, is a week or a month, not shorter. Mutal chatchila. What's the case of mutal chatchila? Says the Gemara, besandal the nafke betrei. It's referring to a sandal which is worn by two people. Since it's worn by two people, that sandal, that knot, is constantly tied and untied because it has to be readjusted to the size of the foot of the wearer, and therefore it could be tied and untied lechatchil on Shabbos. Krab Yehuda, like we find regarding the sandal of Yehuda. Yehuda achved Rav Salach Sida Havelai who snogged the sandal. Yehuda had this pair of sandals. Zimun nufik by Ihu. Sometimes he wore it. Zaman nufik by Yunuke. Sometimes his child went out with it. Asta kamedra abaya. So he came to buy omalei. Kai gavna mai. What's the halach in such a case? Am I permitted to tie and untie the knots on these sandals on Shabbos? Omalei. So he said to him, chayef chattis. If you do so, you're over an issa daraisa. Omalei. Hashta potav aloska kashali. I had a question that it should be perhaps not even osam drabonin. It should even be mutam drabonin. And you're telling me chayv chatas currently, and you're telling me that if I tie or untie such a knot, there's issa deraisa, my tama. So, ask the buyer, why do you not understand my psak? Amalei b'shem b'chol nami, even during the week. Zimna nafka be'ano, zimna nafka be'yanuka. Sometimes I wear the shoe, sometimes my child wears the shoe, and we're constantly readjusting the shoe. Amalei, so he said to him, yehochi, if that's the case, mutl chatchila, then chatchila you should tie and untie such a knot. The Paiskim used this Gemara to speak about a very fundamental shaila in kosher and matter. We've been saying that a permanent knot is asur midraisa, something that has some level of permanence is asur midrabanan, and something that's not permanent at all is mutal chatchila. So they ask, who decides what something is permanent? Is it dependent on the person making the knot, or is it dependent on what is the usual case? So the Bi'ah Locha says that we don't look at every individual specifically, we look at what is the normal case. But from our Gemara it seems that we do look at every individual specifically, because that's what the Gemara is saying, that Rabbi Yehuda was allowed to tie and untie the knots on a sandal, because since he shared the shoe with his son, it wasn't a permanent knot, and therefore it could be constantly changed. Somebody else, perhaps in the same situation, would be usur. So we see that we do look at every individual. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a very nice mahalach in explaining the Gemara. He says, of course we can look at every individual. That means if a knot is made, and that's a knot that's generally permanent, it's usur. But he takes it a step further. When do we say that? That if a person always makes the knot, this knot, to be somewhat permanent, and because he learned the halacha that if you make a knot that's not permanent, then you could tie it and untie it, so this person will make the knot Shabbos by day, and he'll say, you know what, I'm intending that it shouldn't be permanent. Let's use an example that we spoke about yesterday. We spoke that when you make Galila on the Sefer Torah, Shabbos afternoon, you should be careful not to make a knot. Why? Because the next time we're going to use the Sefer Torah is Monday morning, which is more than a day later. So what's going to be the halacha if this person who's tying the knot knows the halacha that if you don't make it to last for 24 hours, thinks that I'm going to untie the knot on Matzoy Shabbos, and it's not a 24-hour knot. On that case, since people generally make this knot for 24 hours or longer, the fact that I had specific intention in this situation to untie it earlier doesn't make it a non-permanent knot. However, in a situation where I always untie it, even though maybe the rest of the world in such a situation doesn't always untie it, then the halacha would be that it's not considered a permanent knot. And really that's what the Gemara is saying. Because what the Gemara is saying is, they asked Rabbi Yehuda, what did you do during the week? The point that we're trying to find out, is this something that you did just once on Shabbos in order to avoid a problem on Shabbos? If that was your point, you haven't accomplished anything. But, if on the other hand, this is what you always do, you weren't just doing it to resolve a problem because of Hilchos Shabbos, then, even though maybe the rest of the world does make this knot somewhat permanently, it wouldn't make a difference, you could make this knot. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah ava ka'ozol basrei de ravu b'kamlus. Rabbi Yirmiyah was walking behind a ravu in a kamlus, ifsik ritzur sandali. A strap of his sandal broke off, and it fell off his foot. Amalei, my navidlo. What can I do? Amalei, she told him, shkol gemilech, take a moist reed, dechazoi l'machal behema, which can be used for animal food, and therefore is not muksa, or kreichalei, and put it on top of the sandal as a patch in the place of the strap. And therefore, you could go home and still wear this sandal. Says the Gemara, Abai Abakoi Kamed Rabbi Yosef. Abai was staying by Rabbi Yosef. If Sikle Ritzua, a strap of his sandal, of Abai's sandal, broke off. Omlei, my Avidle, what should I do? Omlei Shafke, leave it there. Ask the Gemara, my Shnabed Rabbi Yirmiyah, what's this different than the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah? Where in the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Avuah allowed him to take the Gemilach, the moist reed, and fix the shoe. Now, what's the problem in fixing the shoe? That when the shoe breaks, it's muksa. It's not anymore a utensil. So, why weren't you concerned, asked the Gemara in the first case, and allowed me to handle the shoe in order to fix it, move the shoe to fix it, and the second case you don't? Answers the Gemara, Hosom Laminter. There in the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, where did the story take place? It took place in a kamlus, which is an open place, and the sandal would be left open in the street. And if it's left open in the street, people would take it away. So therefore, we allowed him to touch it, to fix it. Hocha, but the story of Abaya took place in the house, or in the chatzar, and it was a safe place, and therefore he did not have a heter to touch the shoe. Which, this the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, but it's a difficult explanation. Because what's the difference if it's in the Rishus HaYochid or in a Kamus? If the shoe, when it's broken, is muksa, so muksa is muksa everywhere. It doesn't make a difference if it's in a Rishus HaYochid or a Kamus. So therefore, the Rashba explains the Gemara differently. If somebody's shoe breaks in a Kamus, his sandal breaks in a Kamus, and he knows he doesn't want to leave it there, so he's not maksadas. He doesn't set it aside from use. Because the person knows, I need my shoe and I don't want to leave it here. Therefore the shoe doesn't become muksa. However, when the shoe breaks in the Rishus HaYochid, so the person says, it's no big deal. I'll leave it here until after Shabbos. And since under that circumstances, the person could easily leave it there till after Shabbos, so he's maksadas from it, he sets it aside, and if he sets it aside, it becomes muksa, and he's not allowed to touch it. As Abaya, v'manahu, the sandal is still considered a full-fledged utensil. Why? Debina hafichin lemi min l'smol. If I wanted, I could switch the right shoe to the left, the right foot shoe to the left foot sandal. To the left foot, or vice versa. That means like this. There are two sides to the strap on the sandal. One is on the inside, and one is on the outside. When the sandal breaks on the inside, people will fix it. When the sandal breaks on the outside, and we're not professional fixing it, so it looks not nice when you make some sort of a amateur temporary fix, so nobody's going to walk around with that shoe. But ask Sabaya, what they can do is like this. even if the sandal broke on the outside, what he can do is that he could switch it to the other side, switch the shoe to the other foot, and what was outside on the right foot is inside on the left foot, or vice versa, and walk that way. And therefore the shoe should still be considered a full-fledged utensil and not muksa. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef said, midak mitaritz, Rabbi Yochanan leaves Rabbi Yehuda. Since we see that Rabbi Yochanan explains Rabbi Yehuda's shita, shmamna alok Rabbi Yehuda, the alokha is like Rabbi Yehuda, which we're going to explain now. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that shoe that broke, that could be worn on the other foot, is not considered any more shoe. Says the Gemara, Mayhi. We're referring to a shita of Rabbi Yehuda, so Gemara wants to know, what do you mean? Says the Gemara, the Tanya. We learned in a Braisa. Sandal shenifsku shtei aznav. A sandal from which both ears broke off. They had like flaps that looked like ear that came over the top of the foot, and they were grasped by the person wearing the shoe when putting on the shoe. Oishtei shrus Yosef, or both of its strap holders broke off. Oishenitel kala kafshalai, or the entire sole was removed, tohar. That shoe is no longer tamei. Because as we explained many times, that a keli that becomes tamei, if it's broken, it loses its tumma status. So here too, these shoes, says the Braisa, are considered broken, and even if they were tamei, they are no longer, they lose that status. However, achas mi oznof, if one of the ears broke off, achas mi tesisof, one of the straps broke off, if most but not all of the sole was removed, tamei, the tumma status remains. And Rabbanan hold makes no difference, Rashi explains, whether it was broken on the outside, on the inside, since you could switch the shoe from the right foot to the left foot and vice versa. The broken strap, no matter where it is, if only one side broke, it's no longer, it's still tummy. Rabbi Huda said like this, Nifska pnimis, if the inner strap broke off, tummy, the sandal is tummy. Chitzayna, but if the outer strap broke off, tohar. Why? Because according to Rabbi Huda, you don't say that a person could switch the shoe to the other foot. Vomer ulavitem rabba babachana amar Rabbi Yochanan. Machlokes lin yitumma, the same machlokes they have regarding tumma, tach machlokes lin yishabbos. They'll have the same machlokes regarding Shabbos. That means, according to Rabbanan, a sandal whose outer strap holder snapped is still deemed a keli and may be touched on Shabbos, used on Shabbos, because it doesn't lose its status as a keli and it's not muksa. According to Yehuda, since he doesn't subscribe to the concept of switching shoes to feet, that would not be considered anymore a keli and may not be moved on Shabbos. Avlo la'inyan chalitza, but not regarding chalitza. The halacha is the midaraisa, if a man dies without any children, his wife should be married to her, one of her brother-in-laws. We don't do this anymore, but that's what Tara says. That's called Yibam. If none of the brother-in-laws want to marry their deceased brother's widow, what we do, what the Tara says is called, we do chalitza. They taking off the shoe. That means the widow takes off the shoe from the foot of her brother-in-law and follows all process, takes it off and spits in front of him, and then she's free to marry anyone in the world. Says the Gemara, Avloy l'nichalitza. This issue that we just discussed, these halachs that we just discussed regarding the status of the shoe, doesn't apply to chalitza. Vavinimbal. And now we try to explain. Rabbi Yochanan, Aliv the man. According to who Rabbi Yochanan make the statement that Avloy l'nichalitza? Ilema l'avid rabbonin. If you're going to tell me that it's going according to rabbonin, that's say. So it says the Gemara, it's difficult to understand. Midlinyan tumma money haver. Since we're saying that a sandal whose strap broke off even on the outside is still considered a shoe as far as Tumah, then if it was Tumah before, it remains Tumah. Linyan Shabbos Nami Manahava. And we're saying it's still considered a shoe as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, and it's not Muksa. Ava Loy L'Chalitza, we're saying regarding Chalitza, the Lav Manahu. It will not be considered a shoe, and if the woman removes such a shoe from a brawler's foot, she has not accomplished Chalitza. Ask the Gemara, that makes no sense. Because Vatnan, we learned the Mishnah Masechta Yevamos, Chotza Shel Shmal Bimin, if a man was wearing his left sandal on his right foot, and chalitza is supposed to be performed on the right foot, chalitza also ksheir, the chalitza is kosher. So we see that the status and the standard for chalitza is a much lower standard than for Shabbos and Tumah. So if it's considered a shoe for Shabbos and Tumah, it should certainly be considered a shoe for chalitza. Vela, Aliv Rabbi Yehuda. Going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And what are we saying? Midlinyan Tumah Lav Manahu, since it's no longer considered a shoe as far as Tumah, and it loses its Tumah status. Linyan Shabbos Nami Lav Manahu, regarding Shabbos, it's no longer considered a shoe, and it's now Muksa. Avaloy L'Chalitza, but what he's saying is, as far as Chalitza, the Manahu, it still can be considered a shoe. So we see the Rabbi Yochanan was explaining Rabbi Yehuda Shita, so it must be that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, where do we say that if you use the left foot shoe on the right foot, the chalitza is kosher? When it's still considered a shoe. In other words, the shoe is a good shoe, just you're wearing it on the wrong foot. But in our case, as far as its full-fledged use, it's not considered a shoe. Why? Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the outside side strap breaks, tar, it loses its Tumah status because it's not a shoe. Alma, so it's obvious, lam manahu, that's no longer a shoe. So how could this shoe be good even for chalitza? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Loilam, aleved Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan is explaining Rabbi Yehuda's shita, but Ema, but don't say that it's kosher for chalitza, he'll say the cane chalitza. Also for chalitza, such a shoe will not be usable. The kamash melon, and what's Rabbi Yochanan teaching us? The ki amin chotzer shel small b'shil min chalitza k'sheira. When is that lochad of use the right, the left foot shoe on the right foot? The chalitza is kosher heicha only in a case the lamil say manuhu, that it's still a shoe. Just you're wearing it on the wrong foot. Here it's completely not considered a shoe. There, even for chalitza, it will not be considered a shoe. Asks Rashi, if that's the case, that we're changing the girsa, and we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan says v'chein lechalitza, that it's kosher for chalitza, so now we could go back and say that Rabbi Yochanan is explaining the Rabbanan shita, and say that Rabbanan consider it a shoe for Shabbos, consider it a shoe for Tumah, and consider it a shoe for chalitza. Says Rashi, that can't be what Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us. Because at the end of the day, the standard for chalitza is a lower standard than it is for Shabbos and for Tumah. Because as we see in the Mishnah, that you could do chalitza with the left foot shoe on the right foot. So if it's a good shoe for Shabbos, and it's a good shoe for Tumah, it's obviously a good shoe for chalitza. And Rabbi Yochanan would not have to tell it to us. The Chiddush is in Rabbi Yehuda that I would think that it's not a good shoe for Shabbos. It's not a shoe for Tumah, but maybe it is a shoe for Chalitza. That's where Rabbi Yochanan has to teach us that no, Rabbi Yehuda will say that's not even a good shoe for Chalitza. That's why it's a proof that Rabbi Yochanan is explaining Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? That the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. From Rabbi Yochanan, we have a rule that Rabbi Yochanan always says, halacha kista mishnah. But now we learned in the mishnah, sandal shenifshika achsim oznov, if a sandal one of the ears broke off, v'tikna repaired it, is the halacha tamim medrus. It's still tamim medrus. Tamim medrus means that anything that dissolve wears becomes tamim medrus, which is an avatama. Now my laugh, doesn't that Mishnah refer to a case, loishna pnimis, v'loishna chitzoina, whether the inner or the outer strap broke? And here we have a stam Mishnah that follows the shita of the Rabbanan, that says that no matter which side of the strap broke, it's still considered a keli. Not like Rabbi Yehuda. Loi. So says the Gemara, no. That Mishnah is referring strictly pnimis dafka, when the inside strap broke. So there it's not so noticeable when you fix it, even in an amateur way. And that's when the halacha will be that the shoe is still considered a shoe and it's tamei medras. But taka, if the shoe broke on the outside, it would be tahor. Avachit soinamai, what will be the halacha tahor? Ask the Gemara, ihochi, if so, adatani. Let's continue learning that Mishnah. The Mishnah says, nifsek hashniya, if the second ear broke off a tikkun and he fixed it, tamei medras, it's no longer tamei medras, because the shoe had both sides broken, ava tamei magid medras, it still has a tumma of something that touched the medras. So the way Rashi explains it, and there are two explanations in Rashi, one is the Rashi in the regular words, one is the Aga. We're going to explain it with the Rashi in the regular words. He says like this, now that both straps broke, even though they weren't both broken at the same time, which the Gemara will discuss shortly, the shoe is no longer considered a shoe. Since it's no longer considered a shoe, it's not tamei medras. But this shoe touched itself, and anything that touches a medras becomes tamei magid medras. It may not be the ava tumah of tumas medras, but it's a rishon tumah because it touched something which is a medras. So the shoe touched itself. So no, even though it's no longer considered that shoe that it should have a lock of tumas medras, it has tumas magid medras. So ask the Gemara, if the halacha is that it makes a difference which strap broke off, the inner strap or the outer strap, nifl b'dido. So the Mishnah could have taught us like this. Instead of starting to talk that the first broke and then the second one broke, say, b'medva memurim, when is this said, shenifsuka p'naimis, only when the inner one broke off. So then it's still considered a shoe, avachit soina, but if the outer one broke, it's tar. Why didn't, if the Mishnah didn't make that difference, we see that the Mishnah holds that it's always that we don't differentiate between the inner and the outer, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Am Rabbi Yosef, Tehei Mishnah Seinu, we'll explain that our Mishnah is talking about a case, B'sandal Shesh Lai Arba's Naim V'Arba's Naim, that it has four ears and four strap holders. And it has two ears and two straps on each side, and since when the Mishnah speaks of one ear and the second ear, it talks about that they're both on the outer side. So if one broke, even though it's on the outer side, and we're explaining Rabbi Yehuda, then normally when something breaks on the outer side, it's no longer a shoe. Here it would still be a shoe. Why? Because you have the second strap. When the second one breaks, so now you no longer have a shoe. But we're not referring to the inner straps at all. Why am I doing this? Even though normally the sandals only had one strap, Shloi Lishba Dvarav Shel Rabbi Yochanan, in order to avoid a contradiction between Rabbi Yochanan's rulings. So we still have Rabbi Yochanan following Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Says the Gemara, Ki Asa Ravan Amar Rav Chanan Bar Abba Amar Rav, Halach Rabbi Yochanan. The Halach is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ain't like Rabbi Yehuda. The halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda, like the Rabbanan, since we could always switch the shoes from the right foot to the left foot, and vice versa, even if it breaks on the outside, it's still considered a sandal, still considered a full-fledged keli. Ask the Gemara, Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan say that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, for mid the mitaritz of Yochanan lead Rabbi Yehuda, since we saw before that Rabbi Yochanan explained the brises like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, shma minot Rabbi Yehuda sfirlei, so we see that he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, amoy ninu valib Rabbi Yochanan, tis machloikis amaroim what Rabbi Yochanan held. Some say Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda, and some say that he held like Rabbi Yehuda, and some say he held like Rabbanan. Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah Masech the Kalim, Kol Kli Balibatim, all wooden homeowners utensils, Shurim Kremayim. Again, referring to Halacha that we mentioned earlier. If a Kali is broken, it loses its Tumah status. Now, the halacha differentiates whether it's the keli of a private individual or if it's the keli of a storekeeper. A regular person, even if his keli has a hole, doesn't necessarily throw it out until it has the hole the size of a pomegranate, of a rimon. A keli of a storekeeper, he can't sell anything with as a small hole even, and therefore it loses its status of a keli even with a smaller hole. So now, says the Mishnah, kol kli balabatim shum krimonim. The shear is the size of a pomegranate. Boy chiskia, not kif kemaitz eyes. If it only developed a hole the size of an aleph, v'sosma, and he closes it up. V'chaz of a naked kemaitz eyes v'sosma, and then it has another hole the size of an aleph, and it closes it up. Until, if you combine all the holes, you do have the hole the size of an pomegranate, but it was never at the same time. Will that be considered that it has the hole the size of a pomegranate or not? Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shenisulon, you taught it to us in the Mishnah that we just learned. It said in the Mishnah, Sandal Shenifka Achz Me'oznav Tikna, you took the sandal, one of the ears broke, and you fixed it. Tamei Medras. It's still considered a shoe, and it has a Tumas Medras. Nifska V'Shneva Tikna. Then, the second side broke, after you had already repaired the first side, Tamei Medras. It's no longer considered that shoe, and it's no longer Tamei Medras. It's Tamei Magi Medras, as we explained before. Vemrin and Lund. And we explain, why when the first one is broken, is it still considered a shoe? The Kaimashni, because the second strap is still in place. But as the Gemara, Shni and Nami, when the second one breaks, Mesakna Rishina, the first one is already good. So we never had a situation where both were broken at the same time. Vamat Lanale, so you explained it. Panam Chadosh is Balakan. This is considered a whole new shoe. Since at one point both ears were broken off, what remains of the original shoe has been rendered useless, and therefore it's not considered a shoe as far as Tumas Medras. Hachinami, so in our case too, even though it never had a hole the size of a pomegranate at one time, Panam Chadosh Bolukan, it's considered an entirely new utensil. It was a utensil that had a hole the size of a pomegranate that now doesn't and is Tahar. Karlei, so he exclaimed about Rabbi Yochanan with this Gevaldige Teretz, last ten Baranish. This is not a person. It's a Malach. Ikadamri, some say, Kigoyin Don Baranish. This is what a person is supposed to be about. Able to answer hard questions. Amrav Zera, Amrav Barazmuna. Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim, if the early generations are considered like Malachim, on B'nei Malachim, then we're people. From Rishonim B'nei Anoshim, if the early generations are people, on Kachamarim, we're like donkeys. If like Kachamarim, Rav Chanina Medoisi, Rav Pinchas Ben Yor, not like the donkey of Rav Chanina Medoisi or Rav Pinchas Ben Yor, El Kishar Chamarim, like rather regular donkeys. What was special about the donkeys of Rav Pinchas and Rav Chanina? So Rashi says that the Gemara Masech Tachurun says that Rav Pinchas Ben Yor brought his donkey to an inn, and the innkeeper wanted to feed his donkey barley that was untithed, that they didn't take off the maizes from, and he refused to eat it. And the Gemara Masechta Tainus talks about a donkey who would be rented on a daily basis, and the renter would send back the payment on the back of the donkey. However, the donkey would not go back home if the rental payment was over or under the correct amount. And the Gemara says that once a pair of sandals was left on the donkey, and it did not move until they were removed from it. Now, there's a lot of pshat in this Gemara. Many mefarshim explain this Gemara like this. What's the question? Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim, if the early generations are Malachim. Of course they were Malachim. So they say like this. Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim, if our attitude to the earlier generations is that they're B'nei Malachim, that they're that great, then on the B'nai Nashim, then we're somebody, we're people. But if our attitude, if our attitude to Rishonim, to the early generations, is B'nai Nashim, that they're mere people, then Anakah Chamarim, we're donkeys. However, ask the Mefarshim, if that's the case, the Gemara says, the Medrash says, Chayev Adam Loimer Masa Yegiu Maisei LeMaisei Avroi Sei Avroi Mitzvah Yaakov. A person has to always say, when will my actions reach the level of Avroi Mitzvah Yaakov? He was saying that they're Malachim and we're people. So how could our actions ever reach that way? So Aaron Cutler explains that although it's difficult to reach those madregas, a person has to know that he has to have a shifa, he has to have a goal that he can reach the greatest heights. The heights, even though the distance between us and the previous generations is very great, we have to try to reach those heights. And if we can't, then we can't, but we have to do what we can. The other svarim say it like this. It doesn't say, I will actually reach those heights. Because as we're learning now, it's impossible to reach those heights. Yagiu means to touch. And they say, a mashal. If somebody flicks on the switch of electricity, the generator that's generating that electricity for your lamp in your house could be miles and miles away. But you're touching, you're affecting it. There's a relationship. Masi Yagiu doesn't mean that you'll actually reach those. Masi Yagiu means you'll touch. When will my actions touch the actions, come close, will have some sort of a shaychus to the actions of the previous generations? Rav Cheskel Abramsky explains like this. He says, "In Mishayin, when we come up after 120 years, says Rav Cheskel Abramsky, there's going to be a complaint, a taina against us, that we didn't live our lives as we should have, perhaps." So we say like this, "Im Rishonim Kimalochim," like the previous generation, they're going to say to us, "Why don't you live your life like the previous generation?" So we say, well, the previous generations, they were Malochim. We couldn't live that way. But if our attitude to the previous generations is Bnei Adam, that they're regular people, so then there's a taina. If they were regular people and they were able to live such a life, why didn't you live such a life? Then, k'chamayim, we're donkeys, we're foolish for saying that. The original used to explain the Gemara this way. He used to say that, again, it's very hard for us to match up to the earlier generations. And that there's going to be a taina to us why we don't match up to the earlier generations. Says the Gemara. But if we'll say, the Rishonim were Malachim, and we're not Malachim, so then there won't be a taina to us. But if they'll say that, you know, that the earlier generations were Bnei Adam, that they were people, and we're Chamorim, Chamorim don't daven, Chamorim can't act properly, so there won't be a taina. But the Chavetz Chaim has a very interesting mahalach with this Gemara. He says, he asks a very fundamental question. He says, how can we say easily that the earlier generations were greater than our generation when we see that in our time so much more has been developed, so much more technology has been developed? The Chafetz Chaim spoke in his time with telephone and telegrams and telescopes were invented which didn't exist in the earlier generations. And yet the Gemara is saying that the earlier generations are so much greater than our generation. So the Chafetz Chaim says, like this. He says, when a teacher starts teaching his young students the alabays, so first they teach him all the letters of the alabays, then they tell him, Aleph with a comets is an A. Bays with a comets is Ba. He says, a smart child doesn't have to be told more. He'll figure out the last of the letters, that what is the comet sound, and apply it to each letter. Not such a smart child will need to be taught more letters. The weakest child will have to be shown each letter individually, how that sound works. Says the Chafetz Chaim, in the earlier generations, our forefathers lived with a great degree of emunah, and they believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was everywhere. Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. The later generations don't feel God the same way. So they can't believe how there's a God that could see everything that's going on in this world. So a telescope was invented. Just like we could see all the way to the highest sky, to the stars, there must be a way for somebody from the sky to see down, from the Shemaim, to see what's going down here. The Gemara says that L'achamei v'esrim, they're going to judge us and they're going to have, they're going to know why every person spoke to another person, even when a husband spoke to his wife privately. It's hard to believe. How will they know while we spoke? So a telephone was created where you could hear from one side of the world to the other side of the world. A tape recorder was created where you could tape a conversation and it could remain forever. And so the reason these things, this technology was created, is not because the earlier generation, says the Chafetz Chaim, might not have been able to do it. They weren't needed in the earlier generations because they were able to, everything that the Eibishter creates, he creates for Avodas Hashem. And those inventions weren't necessary to achieve Avodas Hashem. Our generation needs these inventions to help us have the emuna we need to have, and that's why it was created in our generation, even though our generation is less than the previous generation. We learned in the Mishnah, Kedei Shabasa, you let it tie a knot on top of a pot of meat. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, it's not permanent, you open and close the pot. And it says the Gemara, L'tzrich dis l'shach, I skipped a line, V'noy l'shayim v'shemen, you let it tie knots on the canteens of wine or oil. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, it's not permanent. You want to be able to get to the wine or oil. We're talking a case where the canteen has two flaps. He leaves one tied and only open and close the other one. That's why the Mishnah teaches us, since it's easier to use it when both are open, he doesn't leave anyone permanent. Similarly, Kederi Shabasar, you allow to tie or untie the cover on top of the lid of the pot of meat. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, you want to get to the food? And it says, it's talking a case where it has a spout. You're going to get to the food through the spout and you're going to leave the lid tied on. That no, you don't always use the spout. You want to be able to get to all the food, but you can't through getting through the spout. Rabbi Lez ben Yaakov, we learned that Mr. Rabbi Lez ben Yaakov said that somebody could tie a rope in front of an animal in order that it should not go out. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious, you want to be able to open and close it so that the animal should get in and out, so it's not permanent. Answer the Gemara, L'tzrich da'es le'tartis sira. We're talking with it, two ropes, one on top of the other. Ma'ad ta'ima chad b'tai batulim b'vatla. One of them he leaves there permanently. Kamash m'landa, no, since it's easier to get the animal in and out when you open both, that's why it's not considered permanent. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halach Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that's the halacha. Amalei Abaye, so Elias said halacha mechal de pligi. It was saying that halacha like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it means that somebody's arguing. There's nobody arguing on Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So he said Amalei nafkan lemenos. So what's the difference if I said that halacha like Rav Elazar? If nobody's arguing, certainly that halacha like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So what's your problem? So he said Amalei Gemara Gemara. Smarta tehei, is the Gemara just a song? Every word of the Gemara has to be accurate. And if there's no point in saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because nobody argues with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you shouldn't have said it.